We talked in the adult class for a good while this morning about the Pharisees and some of their views. As today there are different denominations among those who claim to be Christians, so there are various different sects among the Jews in Jesus' day. And it can help us to study what the Bible says about some of these sects, some lessons that may be useful to us. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk about those Pharisees. And we'll talk about some of the things even we talked about in class this morning, but a number of other aspects that may help us to make applications in our own lives and to understand maybe some misunderstandings that some folks have based on the Pharisees. First of all, the Pharisees were a prominent sect in the first century. Acts 23 and verse 8 tells us that they correctly believed that there are spirits and that there will be a resurrection of the dead. That is, that all of us eventually will be raised from the dead. They believed that that would happen, and that was correct. They were correct in contrast to the Sadducees, who denied the resurrection. But they also possessed a number of characteristics that Christians should avoid, that Jesus criticized them for. Their error, combined with their zeal and their influence, often led to conflict between them and Jesus. And sometimes people today believe that the main characteristic of the Pharisees was that they believed in strictly obeying God's word. And some have actually taught that that was their emphasis on God's law was what caused conflict between them and Jesus. Jesus often criticized the Pharisees. And so people say, well, the Pharisees believed in strictly obeying the law. Jesus criticized the Pharisees. Therefore, we should not emphasize strict obedience to the law. It's a mistake. That makes us like Pharisees. And sometimes today, when people teach the importance of obeying God's law, folks will say, well, you're just a bunch of Pharisees. You're just being like the Pharisees in emphasizing strict obedience to the law. A number of years ago, I remember hearing a sermon preached by a gospel preacher. And he introduced the lesson saying he'd been assigned to preach about the Pharisees. And he said that he didn't have any books in his library on the subject of the Pharisees, so he had to go to some of his preacher friends and borrow some books about the Pharisees. And of course, they would be books written by denominationalists. And I wondered why he didn't just study the Bible. There's over 100 references to the Pharisees in the Bible. So why not just see what the Bible says about the Pharisees? But in any case, denominational books almost invariably make the point about the Pharisees that they were strict in teaching obedience to the law, and that that's what Jesus criticized them for. And sure enough, by the time this man's sermon was over, that's what he was criticizing members of the Lord's church for, was for being stricter than what he thought we should be. Jesus did rebuke the Pharisees, but they were not wrong about everything. Remember, they were right about the resurrection. So we need to be careful to condemn the Pharisees or view the Pharisees as being wrong only for the things that Jesus viewed them as being wrong for. And even if we can find in some history that the Pharisees had some belief, that doesn't prove that they were wrong about that belief. So we want to do then a study what Jesus and his word really says about the Pharisees. And in particular, were they wrong in emphasizing obedience to the word of God? And then we want to examine ourselves and consider whether or not we are like the Pharisees. So consider with me this morning some characteristics of the Pharisees and the question of whether or not a particular obedience is something that we should or should not emphasize. And if we emphasize obedience, are we wrong like the Pharisees were? So let's talk for a while, first of all, about this matter of the strict observance of law. Look in Acts 26 and verse 5. And we'll find that the Pharisees were, in fact, a strict sect. Acts 26 and verse 5. Paul, talking about his past life, says, "They knew me from the first if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." So he acknowledges that the Pharisees were a strict sect. But actually, as you read that, is Paul criticizing them for that? Is he saying that they were wrong for being strict? Or is he, in fact, speaking favorably of their strictness? Well, let's look at what Jesus thought about obedience and see how it fits with regard to the Pharisees. First of all, Jesus often taught the importance of obedience. In fact, he repeatedly required that people obey what God taught. And let's look at just a few of the verses that he taught that. Look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 27. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So he first of all says that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to do the will of the Father. Now then, here's some folks who will not enter the kingdom. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So those who did not obey the law, Jesus said, would be rejected. That he would not know them, would not reward them. And so he proceeds then, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So here Jesus says that those who heard his teachings and obeyed them were like a man whose spiritual house was built on a rock. Those who heard the sayings and did not obey them was like a man whose spiritual house was built on the sand and it would fall. So Jesus believed in obedience. And not only did he believe it, he taught that it was necessary to be saved, that those who enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of the Father. And we have many other scriptures. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Hebrews 5 and verse 9, "He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." And then look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So those who don't obey the teachings of God will be punished with everlasting destruction. Now, who can read those kind of verses? And there's lots more we could talk about. Who could read those verses and imagine that Jesus would criticize the Pharisees, or anybody else for that matter, for teaching the importance of obedience to God's law? Sometimes people today who think that obedience to God's teaching is not necessary will criticize those, and we'll talk some specifics later on, specifically baptism, but other things. And they'll say, "Well, see, you folks are like the Pharisees, emphasizing obedience." But Jesus also emphasized obedience. In fact, what passage anywhere did Jesus rebuke the Pharisees, or anybody else for that matter, for teaching the importance of strictly obeying God's word? Jesus never, to my knowledge, criticized anybody for obeying what God said in his word. And furthermore, Jesus did, in fact, rebuke people who disobeyed. When people did not obey the teachings of God, Jesus criticized them for that. He did believe in telling people that they were wrong for disobeying. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." So here Jesus plainly says he does teach people when they're not obeying the will of God that they need to repent. They need to change and come back to obey God. James 5, verse 19 and 20, "Turning a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death." So telling people if they're really in sin, telling them about their sin so that they can change, is not a bad thing to do at all. It's saving a soul from death, the passage says. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 2 through 4. Jesus said, or Paul, by inspiration from Jesus, said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So here Paul warns that there will be people who do not obey what God teaches. And the passage says that because there are people with that problem, we need to preach the word and rebuke people when they do not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now again, today when people are rebuked for not following the teachings of the Word of God. Sometimes folks will say, well, see, you're just like the Pharisees, criticizing other folks for not following the Word of God and emphasizing the strict obedience. You're just like the Pharisees. But the fact is, Jesus himself frequently, regularly during his lifetime, told people that they were wrong for not obeying the Word of God, including the Pharisees. And it amazes me that people hardly approve the fact that Jesus rebuked and criticized the Pharisees and told them that they were wrong and they needed to change. And then those same people immediately turn around and tell us we are un-Christ-like if we rebuke people and tell them that they're wrong. So it's okay to tell the Pharisees that they're wrong, but it's wrong to tell other people that they're wrong? If Jesus did not believe in telling folks that they were wrong, why did he rebuke the Pharisees? And if telling people that they're wrong is a bad thing to do, why do people approve of the fact that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees? So the truth is, Jesus did require and teach the importance of obedience, and he did believe in telling people that they were wrong and needed to change when they were not obeying the will of God. And furthermore, the truth is, Jesus often criticized the Pharisees because they were not strict enough. Jesus' teaching was often stricter than the Pharisees because there were often times when the Pharisees were telling people that they didn't have to obey what God's Word did teach. Let's look at some examples. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. There's a couple of things that Jesus, related things that Jesus criticized the Pharisees for here. We'll talk about one of them later on, but the first one, I want to emphasize now. Matthew 15, let's go ahead and read it. The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. We'll talk about that one later on. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Notice, the scribes and Pharisees, one thing that Jesus criticized them for was teaching people that under certain circumstances they did not have to take care of their elderly parents. Just make a donation to the temple, and then you can say, well, I spent my money, gave my money to the temple, so I don't have to take care of my elderly parents. Jesus said, you're setting aside the law of God. In other words, Jesus was stricter than the Pharisees. The Pharisees here were releasing people from doing what God commanded, and Jesus criticized them. One of the things he rebuked them for was that they were not telling people that they needed to obey the Word of God like they ought to have been obeying it. And there are other examples. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9, with regard to divorce. There were some Pharisees who taught that you could get divorced for just any reason. And Jesus went back to God's original teaching about marriage and God's intent for marriage, and taught that he was, and under his teaching, there would be only one cause for divorce, and that is fornication. Jesus, again, was stricter than the Pharisees. But I want you to notice one in particular. Look at Luke chapter 7 and verse 30. Another very interesting point on which Jesus was stricter than the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not obey God's law as they should have. Luke 7 and verse 30. The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him, that is, by John. Now think about that one. Jesus had been baptized by John, but the Pharisees refused to be baptized by John. And the passage says, in so doing, in not being baptized, they rejected the counsel of God. Jesus was stricter than the Pharisees about baptism. Think about that one. One of the main times that we hear people today criticizing those who teach the importance of obedience to God's law has to do with baptism. People who teach salvation by faith alone, When we teach that baptism is necessary for salvation, they'll say, well, you're just like the Pharisees. You're teaching this strict obedience to the law, and somehow you think you can earn your salvation, and so on. And Jesus doesn't agree with you, just like he didn't agree with the Pharisees. But the fact is, the Pharisees were the ones in the first century who did not believe baptism was necessary, who rejected God's teaching about baptism. This was one of the points in which Jesus criticized them, was the fact that they didn't believe in baptism and they weren't baptized as they should have been. They rejected God's counsel. Folks today need to realize that when we teach baptism is necessary, we're agreeing with Jesus. And people who teach that baptism is not necessary are rejecting the counsel of God. They're the ones who are really like the Pharisees. Now look at Matthew chapter 23 in the scripture reading, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 and 24. And there's another example in which people often turn to try to say that Jesus was criticizing the Pharisees for being strict in their obedience to the law. Matthew 23, verse 23 and 24. In the middle of this discussion, in which Jesus throughout the whole chapter basically is rebuking the Pharisees for their errors. And there's a whole list of errors, and we'll talk about some of them later on. But I want to notice verse 23 and 24. Where he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." So people often come to this passage and say, see, Jesus is criticizing these Pharisees for being so strict in tithing even the little herbs in their garden. They were so strict that they would tithe that, and Jesus criticized them for that. But look at the passage again. Where did Jesus criticize them for tithing those herbs? Is that what he really said? Look at it again. He says, "You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." He's not criticizing them for tithing those herbs. He said, you ought to have done that. That was fine. There's nothing wrong with tithing. In fact, they should have tithed. That's what he said. You ought to have done that. That's not his criticism. His criticism was what they were leaving undone. He says, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done. You ought to have tithed those herbs. But you should not have left the others undone. You should not have neglected justice, mercy, and faith. That's his criticism. Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees here is not that they were strict in their application of God's law. His criticism of them was that there were major parts of God's law that they were not doing. Jesus, again, even in this passage that people often say, Jesus is teaching that you don't have to obey the details of God's law. In this very passage, Jesus is criticizing them for not obeying, for not being strict enough, that there are things in God's Word, basic important things, that they had left undone. And so again, Jesus was stricter than the Pharisees. Now there are other passages where people think that Jesus was more lenient than the Pharisees, and we'll talk about some more of them as another aspect of it as we go along. But mainly, when Jesus disagreed with the Pharisees in their rules, it was because they were binding human traditions, not because they were following God's law. As I said, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Or he would criticize them because their motives were wrong. Again, we talked about that in class this morning. But again, I don't know of any passage where Jesus ever criticized the Pharisees or anybody else for truly obeying what God really taught in his word. So when people today rebuke other folks for teaching the importance of obeying the word of God, what we need to do is point out that Jesus never criticized people for obedience to God's word, never. On the other side, in fact, he really taught people that they needed to, and he criticized people when they did not obey what God said, and that in fact, oftentimes, he was stricter than the Pharisees because they were releasing people from doing what God's word really said. They were too loose and not following the Word of God. And we need to remember that when people today try to use the Pharisees as an excuse to not obey what God says in His Word. So the first area then we talked about with regard to the Pharisees is what Jesus really said about strict obedience to the law. But one of the problems, and we're going to continue next Sunday morning, Lord willing, looking at some other problems, but one of the other problems, and we've already introduced it, that he really had with them was it wasn't God's law that they were binding that he criticized them for. It was human traditions. Human laws that they were binding. And that's what he really criticized them for. So let's look at the Pharisees and some ways in which this was true and then make some applications. Back to Matthew 15 and those first 9 verses there where the disciples condemned people for not washing their hands before they ate. So on the one hand, they released people from what God's law did say with regard to caring for the elderly parents. On the other hand, they bound things God did not bind. Human traditions. It wasn't God's law that they were binding about the washing of hands. It was the tradition of the elders. And they admitted it was the tradition of the elders. They said, your disciples do not keep the tradition of the elders when they washed their hands. They knew that was a human tradition. They knew that they were binding man's traditions when they bound that. And Jesus said they made the commands of God of no effect because they were teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 9. So again, it wasn't their strict obedience to God's law that Jesus criticized them for. What he was criticizing them for was binding man-made laws that were different from God's law, both by binding what God had not and loosing what God had bound, all because of man-made rules. Let's look at some examples of that. Back in Matthew 23, look at verses 16 through 22. Now, Lewis read here this section. I'm not going to bother to read it again. About oaths. And the Pharisees had made all kinds of technical rules about whether an oath was binding or not. If you made an oath, you had to keep it. If you made your oath, if you swore by the gold of the temple or the gift on the altar. But if you swore by the temple or by the altar, then you didn't have to keep your oath. And those are just some examples, and there's lots of others that could be given. So they had all these technical details. This kind of oath you had to keep. This kind of oath you didn't have to keep. And Jesus taught that if anything, the temple is greater than the gold and the altar greater than the gift. So why release people for swearing on the temple or the altar? But really what Jesus ultimately taught was that if you are a person of your word, you shouldn't have to take an oath at all. If you say this is the truth, this is the reality, then you'll keep your word. Matthew 5:37 and lots of other scriptures. Jesus taught that. But once again, it wasn't God's word. Jesus isn't criticizing the Pharisees because they're teaching obedience to God's word. They were actually releasing people from obedience to God's word. Once again, his criticism was they weren't strict enough. They were telling people, here are oaths that you've made before God and you don't have to keep them. And Jesus said, surely you would have to keep that oath just as much as the other oath, at least under the law in which they lived. So what they were zealously binding was human changes in God's law. Human traditions. And that's what Jesus rebuked them for. But in the meantime, in doing so, they're actually freeing people from doing what God had told them to do. Now with that background, let's talk a little bit more about the Sabbath. We discussed this at some length in the class this morning. There's a whole list of scriptures. We looked at 2 or 3 of them. But there's a whole list of scriptures in which the Pharisees criticized Jesus for various acts of mercy on the Sabbath day. They often claim that he broke the law by healing people on the Sabbath day. And sometimes people, and I've even heard members of the Lord's church, use those examples to try to prove, the Pharisees were just so strict in applying God's law that Jesus criticized them for being too strict with God's law. And I don't believe that's what happened. As we talked about in class, I don't believe that they were strict in applying God's law. I believe they were misapplying the law and applying their own human traditions. But let's look at a couple of examples that I think hope helps us see this, some even that we did not talk about in class. Look at Luke 14 and the first 6 verses. Luke 14. and the first six verses. Maybe we did read this one. Look, that happened as he went into this house of one of the rulers of the synagogues. He read on the Sabbath that they had watched him closely, and behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Jesus is showing here that, in fact, the Sabbath law permitted healing as it permitted other works of mercy. Those were not forbidden. The Sabbath law never had forbidden helping somebody with a problem or a need on the Sabbath day. What confuses us when we read stories like this, like we talked about in the class, is that we assume that the Sabbath law forbade all kinds of work, but that's not so. It wasn't all kinds of work. What the Pharisees were binding was human traditions. Now, I want to notice several things about this. It's important. They are saying Jesus sinned here. But the Bible tells us Jesus never sinned. One thing we can know is Jesus never broke the Sabbath law. If Jesus broke the Sabbath law or any other law, he could not have been our sacrifice for sin. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, and lots of other scriptures said he was without sin. He had to be without sin. Sin is transgression of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. If Jesus had violated the Sabbath law or any law, he could not have been sinless. And if he had not been sinless, he could not have saved us from our sins. He had to be without sin to die as a sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus did not violate any law, ever. And he explained here in John 14 that they all knew if an animal fell into a pit or a ditch on the Sabbath day, they could pull him out. And that was not a violation of the Sabbath law. Everybody knew that. Even though on the one hand you could think of it as work, everybody agreed it could be done and nobody thought it was a sin. Why? Because the Sabbath law was never intended to forbid works of mercy. To help, in this case, even an animal. So how much more so, Jesus' point, than a person? And the Jews knew this in various areas. Yet they condemned Jesus for healing people on the Sabbath day. So everybody knew. The Jews, the Pharisees, everybody knew. The Sabbath law did not forbid every imaginable kind of work. They knew that. They had these long lists of things that were okay to do on the Sabbath and things that were not. But they'd made up traditions. But the point is they knew that lots of kinds of work were not violations of the Sabbath law. When the Pharisees condemned Jesus and his disciples regarding the Sabbath law, Jesus, remember Matthew 12, we talked about it in class, said they should not have condemned the guiltless. Matthew 12 and verse 7. So Jesus did not violate the Sabbath law. What he did was not a violation of what the law said. It was just a violation of the rules that the Pharisees had made up. Their traditions, like the hand washing thing. Now look in John chapter 5. And notice a passage that we don't often study, but to me it's very helpful on this subject of the Sabbath. John 5. And again, the reason this matters is not because we're under the Sabbath law, but because of the point that many people make was that if we today try to teach it very importantly obeying God's word, that we're wrong like the Pharisees. And the point is the Pharisees were not wrong in teaching people to obey God's law. They were wrong because they taught people to obey their human traditions different from God's law. John 5, verse 16 and 17. For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. That is, healing a man earlier in the chapter. But Jesus answered, My Father has been working until now and I have been working. And it goes on and shows how that they determined to kill him. Now think about that. The criticism of Jesus is, he is working by healing people on the Sabbath. He's working. And Jesus' response to them is, My Father works, and I work. Now, in the context, what's the point about that? Put it in the context. In what sense had Jesus and his Father been working? Well, obviously, the whole point has to be on the Sabbath day. Jesus is saying the Father works on the Sabbath day, and I work on the Sabbath day. That's the obvious point that he's making. His point is, I'm not the only one who works on the Sabbath. If you will think about it, you realize the Heavenly Father works on the Sabbath day too. What did the Sabbath law relate to? Well, the first person who rested on the seventh day, or the first ones who rested, really it's more than one person, on the seventh day of the week, was God. But remember, John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus was the one who did that work of creation. All things that were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So who rested on the seventh day? Jesus. Jesus was, if anybody understood the Sabbath law, it ought to be Jesus. He's the one who rested from creation on that seventh day. And so he and his Father understood the Sabbath law. He didn't work. That's the sense in which he was the Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 12 and verse 8. He knew the Sabbath law. He'd been there from the very beginning. The very first time when anybody arrested on the seventh day, he was involved in that. But Genesis 2 is saying that God rested from the work of creation. He rested from the work that he'd done, that is, in making things. It doesn't mean that God ceased to do any kind of work at all. And Jesus' point is, God has always worked on the Sabbath day. For example, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, James 1 and verse 17. Every blessing we receive is a work of God. Do people receive blessings on the seventh day of the week? Of course they do. So God is working. And always has been working. He ceased the work of creation, but that doesn't mean that he didn't do any kind of work. God has always worked on the seventh day. If anybody ever received blessings on the seventh day of the week, God was working, because that's how people receive blessings. And furthermore, passages like Colossians 1 verse 17 and all other passages tell us that God upholds all things by the word of his power. Yes, God ceased the work of creation on the seventh day of creation, but he did not cease the work of upholding the universe. The universe continues to exist every moment of every day because God is holding it in existence. If God ceased to work for even one day, the universe would cease to exist. It exists because God, by his power, is holding it up. So every Sabbath day, from the beginning on, God works. He gives us every blessing we have, and he upholds the universe. He keeps the universe functioning. And so Jesus said, my Father works and I work. Jesus' point is, not all work, even the work of God who began the Sabbath, who rested on that first Sabbath, even God continued to work. Not all kinds of work was forbidden by the Sabbath law. Specifically, the question was doing miracles of healing on the Sabbath day. Question, where did the power of doing a miracle come from? If a miracle happened, whose power made the miracle happen? God, right? Miracles are works of God. So if a miracle happened on the Sabbath day, who was working? God was working, right? If God refused to do a miracle of healing or any other kind of miracle on the seventh day of the week, then they simply wouldn't happen. What were they criticizing Jesus for doing? A miracle on the Sabbath day. The point is, the very fact that the miracle happened of itself proves that God works on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus said, my Father works on the Sabbath and I work. God and Jesus were both involved in this miracle. The very fact that it happened proved that God was working on the Sabbath day. Otherwise, it could not possibly have happened. So if they condemned Jesus for doing a miracle on the Sabbath day, they were ultimately condemning God. Because God is the one who gave the power to do the work. And he certainly would never have given the power if it was wrong to do. And furthermore, what was the purpose of miracles? The purpose of miracles was to confirm the word of the one through whom the miracle was done, right? And that's what Jesus said about Acts 2, verse 22, that Jesus was approved of God by the works that he did, and many other scriptures we could talk about. So if Jesus taught that miracles could be done on the Sabbath day, and then he did a miracle, what should have been learned by the miracle? People should have learned that the miracle confirmed his teaching. And then he teaches that it's okay to do miracles on the Sabbath, so the miracle should have confirmed the fact that it's okay to do miracles on the Sabbath. You see, now look, the Pharisees were working on the wrong end of it. Instead of determining in their own minds what kind of work they were going to catch Jesus and try to criticize him for, and said, oh, he did a miracle, so he must be wrong, they should have considered the very fact that the miracle itself proved that God was working through Jesus, and God was approving his teaching. And they should have said, well, he did a miracle, so God must approve of his teaching. If he does it on the Sabbath and says it's okay to do it on the Sabbath, then that was God's approval, that it's okay to do miracles on the Sabbath. So Jesus, in all those ways, and maybe more even that I don't understand, maybe more than that. But the point he's making is the Sabbath law did not forbid all kinds of work. So when the Pharisees criticized him, what were they criticizing him for? It wasn't for disobeying God's law. It was for disobeying their own human traditions. They weren't standing for strict observance of God's law. They were defending a human tradition, where they should have recognized that what he was teaching was from God. Well, now what about today? What applications can we make today? Are there not many people today who have participated in religious practices because of human tradition and human law rather than divine command? Some churches openly bind all kinds of religious ceremony, like the Pharisees, great detailed ceremonies that they bind, which they cannot find in Scripture. It's just tradition. And they openly acknowledge, like the Pharisees did, that it's tradition. And that's why they teach it, and that's why they practice it. Others follow other forms of human law, decrees of councils and rules of church officers and official creeds written by leaders that they appeal to for their doctrine and practice, but it's not in the Word of God. They're human authorities, like the Pharisees, following commandments of men, just like Jesus said, sometimes binding what God has not bound and sometimes loosing what God has bound. By human teaching, human doctrines, not by the laws of God. Others may not have official creed books, but their reason is, we've always done it this way. Or this is the way my family did it. This is what my parents believed, and I've always been a member of this church or this religious group. I've always done it that way, and therefore, it's the way it ought to be done today. Such people are mistaken when they rebuke other people as being a Pharisees because those people teach we need to obey God's law. They say, you're teaching obedience to God's law, you're like the Pharisees. No, it's the people who teach obedience to man-made doctrines, human teachings, that need to be rebuked as being like the Pharisees. And the people who today criticize those who teach obedience to God's law, such as with regard to baptism, are themselves often members of churches that follow man-made teachings. They have many human doctrines, many practices that are not found in the Word of God, that they are participating in the churches that they're members of, and criticizing other people for emphasizing strict obedience to God's law, while they themselves are following human commands, which is what Jesus really criticized the Pharisees for. In fact, it should be obvious at this point that the doctrine that obedience to God's law is unnecessary is itself a man-made rule. Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus didn't teach that obedience is not necessary. You can be saved without obeying. Jesus taught, as we saw earlier, that we do need to obey God's law. So the doctrine that we're saved by faith only without obeying God's law is itself a man-made law. And those who teach it are the ones who are really like the Pharisees, releasing people from what God said, teaching man-made doctrines that differ from what Jesus said. So once again, Jesus never rebuked the Pharisees or anybody for teaching people to carefully, respectfully obey divine law. He rebuked following human traditions that are different from God's law. And we need to take care. Are we basing what we teach and practice on the teachings of Jesus, the teaching of God? Or is it based on human doctrine? Why do you believe and practice what you do? Are you following teachings that simply that you learned from your parents? Or loved ones? Or that you just practiced for years? Or laws made by some church that differs from the Word of God? Or can you show in the Word of God, in Scripture, if you're appealed to the Word of God, the things that you teach and practice? That's the lessons that we need to learn from the Pharisees. And Lord willing, as I said, next Sunday morning I want to continue. There's some other things about the Pharisees that we can also learn. So are you following the teachings of God? Have you obeyed the true teachings, or have you been following man's teachings? If you haven't been converted according to the teachings of Jesus, you need to do it His way. And understand that it does involve obedience, including involves baptism, as we've learned. If you believe in Christ enough, you repent of your sins, you confess Him, you're baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what He taught. Not because of some man-made tradition, not because of some human rule, but because Jesus taught that's the way to do it. If you haven't done that, why not do it this morning? Better than falling away. I need our prayers. Won't you come and make it known as we stand and while we sing?